Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast. It's Marto, it's Margo, and well, welcome to a big show. Whingy Wednesday, although we understand it's a Thursday.
They're only little whinges, though. They weren't big
life-changing
whinges.
Just petty rants.
Yes.
Just those little things that annoy you.
What else did I think of? No, I'll wait till next
week. We actually do it on a Wednesday next week.
Hey, yes. Something really interesting in the show today. We were talking to Paul Bidwell. He knows all about the shortage for tradies for, you know, whatever you're building, whether it be
Everyone wants
steel
to build, but there's no materials. So, and there's shortages of everything. And everyone confirmed it. Then we went to the real life survey and everyone went, yep, that's exactly what's going on.
I don't know why we're not manufacturing more here in Australia, because we're waiting for stuff
to come
from overseas. We're importing it all. Why we stopped?
We stopped years ago because China said, listen, we can fix all that up for you. It won't cost you as much. And it was cheaper to get stuff from China than make it here. So we fell for that.
Well, now it's not as cheap. And we're waiting longer, so I think maybe there might be an opportunity in the market to get into some manufacturing.
Well, if you're a builder, if you're a tradie, or if you're renovating or buying a home, you'll find out exactly why all the prices are going through the roof. That's coming up. It's the Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. This is Triple M.
Let's just do it, OK?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
I think we all know SAS, the show where the celebrities, so here's some of the dramatic music from it. Have you got it there? Righto, so every night, they're down to five or four. I don't know what they're down to now.
There's Yana Pittman, John Stephenson, Sam Burgess, and that actor Dan Ewing. Did he go?
Oh, we gave him a slice up yesterday. But the thing is, it's become quite big and it's real, and it's all about the English SAS instructors yelling. It's just yelling.
Oi, Bambi, stand up. Stand up. Stand the up now.
And again.
Let's go. Come on, little piggies. Come on, dig in.
A bit of effort in, or I'll be squealing like pigs.
And again.
Focus.
All right. So
they went off last night. There was slapping of the hand on the table and there was yelling stuff.
That's what it takes. And you look at this and you go, well, it's been a success. It's only a matter of time. You know all these other shows, MasterChef. They had a MasterChef Kids. And then The Voice. Went, well, so we've got to have a Voice Kids. Even Holy Moly, the putting show.
SAS Kids. Reckon?
And you think, where would they find a host that yells out at kids?
Keep going.
That woman.
Keep going.
Not just one kid. You're yelling at other kids.
Go Wiley.
Eh.
Go Wiley.
All right. Now, listen, I'm going to put your name forward for the producers.
Okay.
So get ready if I send some of your best yelling audio to them. Mm. But if the producers come and go, geez, I would need to meet this Margo woman,
she'd
be
back.
Perfect to host SAS Kids. Can you, right here, right now, do it live?
Yeah.
If I'm the producer, I'm going, what would you bring to our show, Margo? How would you deal with these kids and keep them nice and tough?
Pick up your wet towels off the floor. I said, bring your shoes inside. How many times do I have to tell you? Get to bed.
You've got the job.
Found her.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
I think I might have, in terms of talking sport, the feel-good sports story of the year, Margo. And I'm not talking about Benji Marshall. We might deal with that later in the show, about his retirement stuff. I'm talking about Ben Cousins.
And
after all this time, let's go through Ben Cousins, the top incident. So he's one of the greatest midfielders in the game of AFL. He won a Brownlow medal in...
Which team did he play for?
Played for the West Coast Eagles. The Weagles.
That's
and
right.
When they won a premiership. They lost one grand final, then they won a premiership with him in the midfield in 06. He won the Brownlow the year before.
Incredible.
But some of the highlights were, in 2002, he got into a fight with his teammate Daniel Kerr over concerns about Kerr dating his sister.
Oh.
He attended the Brownlows with a black eye, which is always a good look when you fight.
Yep.
Or that night in 2015 when he was high on ice and he broke into Perth's secure SAS barracks. To see it.
We all have our shortcomings.
He had to go over the top of 2 4-metre high fences to enter the base, and he was looking to have a drink.
It's amazing what you can do when you're on ice.
Better. Exactly. In 2015, caught by police scaling the roofs of houses in his local suburb of Canningvale, just jumping from roof to roof. He was like Superman at times. 2006, the highlight for me will always be when he abandoned his car with his girlfriend still inside because he pulled up and he went, shit, booze bars.
Oh.
Remember, do you know
jumped
the story?
Jumped out and ran.
No, he swam. He was in jeans. He took his shirt off, swam across the Swan River, which is full of bull sharks. It was about, I've been to the place where he swam across the Swan River. It's about 200 metres wide. There's bull sharks in there.
Just to escape the police.
Yeah, he then walked into a local restaurant with the jeans, everything still wet, obviously, asked to use the phone. They said, Ben Cousins. He said, no, I'm not. I'm his brother.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. Well done, Ben.
So that's incredible. Just if you didn't know about Ben's
incredible
career.
Incredible. What a guy. Yes. I saw him at the Brownlow Medals just recently. Sharp. He looked sharp.
They've been
He's
inviting
in a suit.
Him
he
every
had a new
year.
Partner.
Every year since 2000. And when did he win it? Did I say 2005 he won it? They've invited him every year. And finally this year he said, I think I'm ready. Taking him 60. Some players, wow. You know, we go, oh, take him a while to mature. And they live in the bubble. And it's like Quade Cooper, I always say, geez, it took him a while to grow up.
Yeah. At least he kept trying, though. Like, he kept giving it a go, you know.
Well, he was on ice, that's why.
he'd fall into his shortcomings and then he'd get back on the bandwagon
he's
and be 40, sober.
He's
and
now 43, okay? It has taken
up.
A while.
It's time to grow up, Ben.
Well, there's good news. Here's the good part. Appears to be getting his life back on track.
Good on him.
After being named Employee of the Month
what?
At the Perth Construction Company he works at, I know,
oh,
put them together.
Incredible.
Done.
Yep.
I mean, he finally put all of those scaling fences and climbing on roofs
to good use. Exactly. Who else is going to be able to get up some scaffolding? Congratulations to Ben Cousins for earning the Rig Safeway, that's the name of the company, Employee of the Month of September. And there he is receiving his cardboard piece.
Show me the
picture. So, oh, yes, have a look at that.
That's cute.
Receive that. So,
oh, good on
him. At the age of 43, Ben Cousins has turned the corner, and I believe the next one, the Melbourne Storm, are probably going to approach him to mentor Cameron Munster. Get him back on track. Come on, son.
Congratulations,
anything's possible.
Ben.
Everybody needs a role model.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, there's been lots of talk about bubbles and being able to travel to New Zealand. I've got some friends that have moved to New Zealand. They went, we're going to go on a holiday, and they decided not to come back because they're like, you know what, we love New Zealand, we're going to stay here. And I got talking to some girlfriends yesterday at a lunch about when we're going to be able to travel again and whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. That looks very different for everybody depending on their situation. But I kind of have been reflecting lately on, I've been very fortunate. We've been able to see a lot of overseas countries and travel internationally. We have been very fortunate. But since we've been locked down, since our borders have been shut, since we haven't been able to travel, we've also seen a lot of really beautiful parts of our own state that we've never travelled to before.
Yep.
And I'm seeing through social media, through campaigns for tourism, some of the really amazing islands and little spots that you didn't know existed.
Bays and coves and little capes.
And islands. And like I saw yesterday, a friend is at Badara Island.
Oh, my God. I had my honeymoon there.
I'd never heard of it before. And
beautiful.
It's just off the coast of Mission Beach there up North Queensland. I've been to Mission Beach before because my grandmother lived there, but I never knew Badara Island existed. Some friends have gone to Orpheus. There's Lizard Island.
But you go camping.
Of course, all of the Hayman, Hamilton, you know, those islands as well. But there's Great Keppel.
But Mole Island. North and South Mole. You can camp on these places.
So beautiful. And I was kind of like, you know what? If I was in a position where I wasn't able to travel overseas again, I think I'm okay with it.
Me too.
There's so much of Australia that I haven't seen. I've never been to WA. I've never been to South Australia.
Oh,
I've never been to the Northern Territory. I've only done a very small part of Tasmania. I've seen the city and some of the, you know, close outlying suburbs of Sydney, Melbourne. Corey and I did the Great Ocean Road, but there's so much more our own country has to offer.
Overseas can get stuff.
Even our own state. And I was like, you know what? Because we have suffered so incredibly here, I would love to give back to our jobs, to our tourism industry, to our future, to our children who are going to need work and jobs here in the future. And so I'm kind of like, I don't know if I'll want to travel overseas again.
Well, I'm tapping
maybe
out.
I might go to Noosa or Hamilton Island, or maybe I might go to Cairns. I've never been to Cairns before. Maybe I might go up and stay in Port Douglas, you know, instead of going to Fiji or to Bali and spend
so
an extra $1,000
on
food and alcohol because, you know, I'm putting it back into our own economy. And
what about New Zealand?
133353. I've never been.
Never been to New Zealand.
Not as an adult. I've only ever been as a child and I don't remember it.
It's mind blowing.
It's just there, you know, and I've never been. 133353. Where will you travel again? Like they're saying about going overseas, but
do you want people to say, nominate if they want
maybe
to go.
Maybe they decide they don't want to go.
What did they say
anymore?
The other day, Tuesday about Bali open to us March? I think it
but
was.
Have you seen how desolate and derelict Bali is? Like traveling overseas is not going to be the same as it used to be. A lot of these places are recovering from COVID themselves.
All right,
you know?
Tell me. You and I have both been to Bali a number of times. What's it got that we haven't got? Cheap beer.
Cheap food and beer. Yeah, and beer.
That's it. That's all they've got that we haven't got.
Yeah, and it's a bit cheaper.
So brew your own and go on holidays to a Queensland beach.
Yeah, but it's a third world country, essentially, in parts of it as well. You know, it is quite derelict and there's lots of beggars and all of those sorts of things.
What's your question?
Well, I want to know, are people keen to travel again? Are they keen to get overseas? But where are you going to be travelling to? Has the pandemic opened up your eyes and changed your perspective of maybe spending money in our own country, staying here and travelling around Australia or even just Queensland? There's so much to see. Even if you go out west, like we were out at the Scenic Rim, spending money in little towns, little rural regional towns, helping the people of Queensland. Is that your idea of travelling in the future?
Queenslanders would probably enjoy greater freedoms travelling around Queensland than if they hopped on a plane and went to Tokyo.
Because I don't know what it looks like overseas, right? I don't know if I landed in Tokyo, would I be able to go and do Tokyo like I would have done 18 months ago?
They'll have rules
probably
that would surprise you.
Masks. And, you know, vaccinations. There's all sorts of things that overseas now looks very different to what it used to. But we're going to be able to travel here. I mean, she also said this. I'm not sure if this is on anyone's bucket list.
Ipswich, Logan and Bow Desert.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Logan.
Corralben.
Don't get me wrong.
Corralben's nice.
But, yeah, there are so many beautiful places here to see. Mark from Redcliffe, travelling in our own country, not such a bad thing.
Oh, 100% agree with what you're saying, Margo. We just took the family up to Palm Cove for a week and then to Port Douglas for a week. And it was like a fusion between going to Thailand and going to Fiji. And it was just fantastic. It's so nice to spend our money. And they need it. You know, it was so quiet.
Hey, Mark, the other thing is, I don't want to be racist, but there's no tourists up there. It's all Aussie adventures.
It is, and it's quite nice. So you do lack that foreign culture, but, you know, like, you don't get the shits, which is a big one when you go out and eat. So
don't have to worry about barley belly in cans, do you, Mark?
No, it was just fantastic. So we've been going away for weekends to Mullaney, to Montville. Yeah. There's so many just little hidden treasures, and they need our money. So it's really nice to spend it.
Holiday here is what they're saying, and I think it's, you know, something that we should take into, you know, the future beyond just this pandemic.
Don't go to New York, go to Cape York.
Exactly. Ian from the sunny coast, where are you been travelling or where are you going to go to? What's on your travel plans?
Well, at Easter, my partner, we wanted to go on a road trip, and I was looking at the map, and I said, why don't we go out west? And she goes, okay, we'll go out west. And we went from the Sunshine Coast out to Charleville, down to Cunnamulla, out to St George, Stanthorpe, and come home.
That is a ripper.
Unreal.
How long? Seven nights?
No, mate, 2 weeks. We stopped at every pub she drove. I was relaxed. She was stressing out.
You were pissed.
It was great.
Now, listen, you always got to ask, is it green out there?
Some places are green, some places are dry.
Yeah. Did you do the tourist thing? Like, did you go to the astronomy place out at, you know, you're looking up at the stars at Charleville?
Yes.
Yeah,
we went everywhere, mate. It was good. And the country people are so nice. Yeah.
And they're grateful because they're so appreciative that you've come out to visit them and spend your money there as well. And I think this might bring back, you know, the old school tradition of family road trips. You know, it's not about getting on planes and going somewhere. It's getting in the car. It's playing I Spy. It's talking to your kids. It's re-engaging as a family when you're taking time off to, you know, spend some time together. Like, I would love to do a road trip. I've never been to Hervey Bay. I've never been to Bundaberg.
God.
I've never been to Gladstone. Like, there's
Agnes
so many
Waters,
places just like 5 and 6 hours
Our
away that we've never
crazy.
Seen. Our coast is so beautiful.
Good on
Kerry
you for encouraging
Kerry
from North
Lakes texts through. She said earlier this year, we travelled to South Australia and visited the Barossa Valley. It was amazing. I strongly recommend people going and seeing it. I mean, well, Dan Andrews, didn't he? Bagged South Australia, didn't he? He said, don't go to South Australia. It's crap.
Better reason to go there. But Casey's going. She went to Airlie Beach. It was stunning but expensive. But that's you make the decision whether you spend money.
Mark from Redcliffe just came back from Cairns. Need to holiday locally. There's so much to see in our own backyard.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Wayne Bennett paying tribute to Benji Marshall, one of the greatest players of all time. It was a nice little tribute. Benji yesterday in that press conference saw him with his little fella. God, he's a class act, Margo.
Yeah, he's so such a nice guy. Really good family. She's beautiful. His wife, Zoe. They're
I've never heard him do anything wrong. Like hold him up as the example of what an NRL player can be like.
Yeah, let's make sure our kids are looking to the right role models.
Yeah, and he was so young. He was a Keebra Park boy who ended up going to the Tigers and playing, what, he played 11 years at the Tigers, made his debut against the Broncos. I can remember he scored a try from fullback that night. I think the Tigers beat the Bronx that night. So he's been a hell of a player and he's a class act.
I'll leave this game as a grown man who learned a lot of life lessons and I think turned into a pretty good person.
He was certainly confident, maybe a little bit up himself at the presser yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I was looking back at some highlights this morning and, you know, I've done some good stuff.
He was the best player in the world.
He changed the game in many ways. God, he captained the New Zealanders a World Cup victory against Australia, in 2008? He went and played for, after 11 years at the Tigers, he then went to the Dragons for three seasons. He had a season, or a very unsuccessful season with Auckland. That was his only low point of his career, I reckon. Then he came to the Broncos. Broncos in 2017 with Wayne, then 18, 19, 20. He was at the Tigers and the Bunnies this year.
Yeah,
it's been extraordinary. And you heard Wayne go, any discussion of the greatest player in the game, Benji Marshall's got to be in it. And you think greatest player in the game, maybe Cam Smith, 430 games. Cooper Cronk, 372 games.
Darren Lockyer. Thurston.
Darren Lockyer, 355. Terry Lamb, 350. Steve Menzies, 349. Look, this is pure numbers of games. Paul Gallen, 348. Benji Marshall, 346.
Amazing.
And you think he had an offer to play at the Gold Coast Titans next year, not for a lot of money. And you think, who would have been motivated to give him money to retire? Like, who would have said to Benji, mate, I think it's time to hang him up on 346 NRL games?
Maybe his wife wanting him at home more?
Maybe. Or maybe the bloke who's on 347 career NRL games, some bloke called Corey Parker, has he offered Benji Marshall and said, don't overtake me, that'll do you a career. Check your bank account.
That little secret bank account I had come in handy, didn't it?
See if you're down a bit of money. Your husband made him retire.
Marto's Thought on Sport. This is Triple M. It's the Big Breakfast.
Hey, you might remember back in March, we had a good chat to the boss of Master Builders, and we were talking about timber because I kept on hearing these stories about price increases. Shortages. I'm talking construction industry shortages, but if you want to talk about, you know what else there isn't? I want to talk about shortages here in Australia that we're having trouble getting stuff. The joint went crazy.
There was no supply.
Tiles, there was steel, timber. There was bricks, there was concrete had problems. And they're now calling it, there was an interesting article, that's March. That's nearly 6 months ago we started talking about it. The situation's gotten worse. They're now calling it the profitless building boom. Oh. So every builder, every construction worker has got more work than they can handle.
Well, we keep hearing how busy they are.
Ain't nobody making any money. Paul Bidwell, welcome back, mate. Deputy CEO of Master Builders Queensland. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Marto. Hello, Margo.
Hey, Paul.
Things have moved even further since the last time we had a chat about this, and everyone seems to be onto it. The last thing you want to be doing is a reno. Is that what it sounds like?
Sadly, very true. It's not got any better. In fact, it has got just progressively worse. It'll run into early next year, maybe mid next year.
So, Paul, this is not just about a lack of supply. This is also about increased costs, and they don't look like they're going to be coming down.
Well, that's very true. I mean, it doesn't happen very often when prices go up because of lack of supply, and when you get things go back to normal, the prices very rarely come back to where they were.
What do you hear about some of your members of Masters Builders quoting on jobs and people trying to claim it for that? There'll be blokes going under, won't there?
That is our worry. And we think that it will happen, Marto. It's just a matter of when. We thought it might have been October, November, but I think it's more likely to be early into next year after that Christmas break when cash flow is very slow, as you know. But it's all on the basis that the builders have signed a contract to build at a fixed price at a fixed time, and whether it's a renovation or a new home, and the costs just keep on going up. And so the prices they've quoted are insufficient to cover the cost.
Can we take a, just for everybody, take a normal house. And let's work our way up from the footings. Concrete, has that gone up in price?
Yes.
Steel posts and concrete posts, or timber posts even, yes. They've all gone up. Timber flooring, timber joists, etc., they've all gone up.
The prices have gone up and the lead time to get them has gone through the roof. So that's the other thing. It's one thing for the price to go up, it's the time.
This property boom where everyone's buying houses, they can't get them renovated anyway.
Well, they can. It's just at a price and a matter of when. And it's whether the builders go broke in the process.
Would you say to all builders now, don't do a fixed price contract, go cost plus?
Yes, cost plus contracts at least give people the flexibility, or gives the builder the flexibility, but it doesn't give the owner any certainty. And where you've got a financier involved, if they can just see it's all, like, we don't, you know, there's no limit to this. So there needs to be some constraints around the cost-plus contract that everyone knows how far it can go up.
So it's a catch-22. So
everybody wants a guarantee.
That's right. So the banks, they've got a role in this as well. So we know builders that have tried to put, like, say, a roof in a big element of the cost in as a provisional sum. That'll make sense to you, Marto. So we're going to do all of the house at a fixed cost, but this bit, we just don't know what it's going to cost. Now, normally they only do that with, you know, electrical appliances.
Often it's kitchens and without appliances.
That's right, which are not big chunks of the cost. But there have been some builders who have tried to put the cost of the roof, for example, in as a prime cost item, as a provisional sum, and the banks have just put a red line through it because they just don't know where it's going to end up. And when you've got a first home buyer who has got their mortgage is capped because of the loan valuation ratio or their capacity to pay the mortgage, then you end up with a really tough position where the homeowner, would-be homeowner, can't get a contractor that they can make work, and the builder can't do it at the price that they need to.
It's not that easy, but thanks for trying to help explain it, Paul Bidwell, Deputy CEO of Master Builders. Thanks again, Paul.
My pleasure.
Right, that was Master Builders, so that's a generalisation across the whole industry. I want to know, at the coalface, you guys and girls are there every single day. What are you hearing and how are you coping with construction material shortages and the delays? Mm. Like, what is going on? They're calling it a profitless boom. Give us a yell about specific examples of cost going up or delays in getting stuff and how it's impacting on everyone.
Quite possibly you might find that people just aren't quoting on a contract basis. They're quoting on cost plus only, maybe moving forward, Marta. It'd be interesting to see how builders are quoting.
Not just builders, it'll be all the associated trades. So what's happening in real time, in real life? 133353.
David from Amberley, what's the position that you find yourself in with this?
Morning, guys. Well, my son-in-law is a builder at Airlie, and I'm a retired tradie, and I've been helping him. Anyway, he's been waiting for, he was waiting 8 weeks for laminated bearers.
Oh, yeah.
7 weeks for trusses. They turned up 7 weeks late, and he couldn't get the steel posts, so we ended up making them.
Made your own?
Made your own posts, yeah.
What, just got 6 metre lengths and cut and welded yourself?
That's it.
Wow.
Good effort.
Is that something that you could maintain? You know, we heard about potentially looking to do more manufacturing here in Australia. Is that something that's sustainable and maintainable, David?
I don't follow the question, Margot.
Like making your own posts, if it's going to take that long and we're seeing, like you said, 7 weeks for trusses and we're seeing a 75% price increase on those as well, is making your own steel posts sustainable? Like, is it something you could do long-term moving forward?
They have to be made to an Australian standard and you have to be a qualified boilermaker or welder to do it. So we were lucky that we were able to access someone like that to make the posts.
But is that something that you would do in your business moving forward, making the posts instead of having to wait and pay the price increase?
Perhaps. We've got four new builds in front of us.
Yeah.
But they're all slabs, so that's all good.
Now, listen, you could also build your own trusses if you could make sure you get the certification right, because they're not that hard. They're just pieces of timber which are whacked together. Don't you reckon, Dave?
Yeah.
If you could get all the right plates and all the rest of that, you could do your own.
Yep. It's just, as you know, Marto, it's just money. It's just time involved.
Time.
If you can get someone comes out and measures it, they deliver them on site, you hang them, all good.
But remember, in the old days, it used to be a week.
Yeah, if you're waiting 7 weeks for them, you'd make your own in that amount of time. You know, you wouldn't have to wait.
That's tough. Thanks, Dave. Glenn from Tambourine, what are you finding, mate?
Yeah, g'day, mate. I'm working in the frame and truss industry, so...
Okay.
We're on the coalface supplying to the builders.
Okay. And what are you finding, Glenn?
Look, it's crazy out there. There's no doubt, and I'm really glad that you guys are putting this issue to air, because a lot of our builders, until just recently, are actually caught quite by surprise because of the, you know, they're ringing up and they're saying, I want to book this job, and you quoted it 3 months ago, and the prices have literally doubled. The material costs have doubled in a 12-month period.
You've got to make that call and say to them, listen, we can't maintain that price.
Absolutely. And
then they've got to do that to the client. Well, then they've got to do the same conversation with the client, and therefore some client, are you hearing stories of clients pulling out of contracts?
They're caught, because it is exactly that. It's a contract. And we're having builders pushing on and trying to cut corners where they can to pick up the profit that's been chewed. But from a supplier's perspective, it's very difficult for us, because we're seeing a huge number of quotes come through, like more than threefold what we had this time last year.
Okay.
And we're already running red hot before the government building stimulus, which I really don't think we needed. Just preparing a quote, we have all these materials that we think we have at hand, and then we actually go to process the order, and the materials simply aren't available. So we're having to stop, redesign, and that's a compounding issue. Jeez. It extends our quoting time, because everything we do, we've got to do two and three times over. And then, of course, that affects our lead times on quotes, because we're spending so much time preparing and re-preparing and re-preparing orders that it's pushing everything back and just, again, compounding the issue for our builders, though, who are screaming for quotes that you can't possibly keep up with.
Glenn, can I just quickly ask, excuse my ignorance, you supply frames and trusses to builders. Where do you get your supply from? Is that something that's manufactured here in Australia, or are we waiting for it to come from overseas?
A lot of our local timber suppliers did upgrades, thinking that when COVID hit that things were going to go quiet. So there's been a lot of upgrades in the machinery, their kiln dries.
Yeah.
And, of course, when the boom kicked off, they were all caught, excuse the pun, but with their pants down. And it's the material simply wasn't there, and they haven't been able to catch up.
Glenn.
So now we're buying a lot of imported stock that we're paying huge amounts on because
full.
There's importing costs. Ships aren't coming into Australia, and just the import.
It's a nightmare. If you think, did you hear that term we used before? Profitless boom. So everyone's gone crazy. There's plenty of work, but no one's making any money. Are you seeing that?
100%. Yeah. And myself personally, you know, we're putting 50, 60-hour weeks in to try and keep up. And, you know, we're hurting personally on the front as well, trying to do what we can.
Glenn, I hope everything's all right. Listen to this one, Glenn. Dave from Wellington Point says he's in the flooring business, waits now until February to get some get flooring.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's all over the joint.
Nathan from Drewvale can't get any pallets. And Stuart texts us on the burner phone, said it's not just timber, Marto. Every week his supplier sends him a new notice saying that steel is gone up another 10 to 15%. It's gone up 60% in the last 12 months.
I tell you, first of every month or soon, around that time, colour Bond have been sending me an email going, yep, our price is going up another 10%. Anyway, good luck, everybody.
Appreciate
but at least
calls.
You're aware of it. Be careful if you're a client. Give them a little bit of space and understand this is what's going on.
As the guys say, you're our eyes and ears. Thank you for the calls this morning. Big Breakfast at Triple M.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Triple M.
Can I give you some of the greatest entertainment I've ever had? Years ago, it'd be 15 years ago, a mate of mine, he's a lawyer, he said, do you want to see some good entertainment? You go to the magistrate's court just about 300 metres down the road here on a Monday morning and you see some of the greatest limping, bumbling shufflers I've ever seen in my life. And they've got, and you sit in the back of the courtroom and you get listen to their excuses because a lot of them aren't represented.
What, you can just go and sit in there?
Yeah.
Can you?
There's a lot of all the drunk
Why
drivers.
Why haven't we done that?
You can't, well, let's do it one morning because they come in and they have some of the greatest excuses. Dog ate my homework's not even the top 100. They have, were you driving pissed and all this? The judge, listen, what are you doing? All right.
My girlfriend.
So I love
me missus.
All right, promise you'll come down one day.
I'm going to.
And you'll just say, oh, my God, real life is so much better. Because last night I'm listening to the news and my ears pricked up and went, what?
A woman charged with making menacing threats to a teenager over a guinea pig has avoided a conviction in court. It's believed Kieran Rooney purchased the animal from a 13-year-old, but the deal didn't go through.
What? I'm going, hold on. Yes, all right. Now, I'm glad she got off, but there's a lot of moving parts to this. I'm going, what? Text messages.
So a woman brought a guinea pig off a 13-year-old.
Well, that's where the problem started. She wanted to buy the guinea pig, and she arranged, and she went there, and she didn't know it was a 13-year-old. That's what the judge said. Lucky you didn't know who you were dealing with. The person wouldn't come out of the house, said, no, you're not having the guinea pig, and she's apparently yelling outside, and then she started texting.
She really wanted that guinea pig.
I've never had a guinea pig because they must be bloody good pets because she went off.
Rooney texting the teenager several threatening messages saying, I hope your family die of COVID. I want my pig.
Oh my goodness.
I want my guinea pig.
Your family die of COVID. That's normally threats that anti-vaxxers get.
Exactly.
Not guinea pig.
Give me that pig.
626 Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
You know, every week, Marto and Margo are hitting the streets, coming to your place, workplace rock up. You want the tasty, fresh lunch van to come to you.
Bloody good.
You can go to tastyfresh.com.au. You can register your workplace at triplem.com.au. Might see you next week.
Marto, really early this morning around 6 o'clock, you were telling us about Ben Cousins and his latest achievements. and you listed through the Brownlows and, you know, all of his...
He was six times All-Australian. Yeah. That's in the All-Australian team. He was four times the West Coast Eagles' best player, and he won the Brownlow, the ultimate award in football.
Yeah, and he had some indiscretions, the rise and the fall of Ben Cousins. Yeah. But his latest rise was that he received Employee of the Month at his new job as a scaffolder for Rig Safe Lifting Solutions, who recognised, obviously, his hard and good work. Mm. And we're proud of him, of Ben Cousins, for making a comeback and getting his life on track.
Can you tell everyone, look, in the photo I showed you?
He looks like proudest little kitty ever.
That's
getting
the certificate
a gold star.
They give you to go to McDonald's if you win Man of the Match in the under eight.
You get a free
cheeseburger.
There you
go, Tiger. So I wonder if there's a room in his house where the Brownlow, all the best and fairest.
That's going to go in the straight to the pool room, isn't it?
I bet. Well, it symbolises him turning
his life
around.
He's turned a corner and he's turned his life around.
Or would it be on the fridge?
He should be proud, and that should be a really good reminder to him. You should put it on the fridge somewhere where he can see it.
Every time he opens the fridge.
Yes. It's a reminder of how far I've come.
Employee of the month.
Just keep on keeping on, you know, and we'll all get there in the end. A little bit like you, Marto, a few weeks back. We participated in a team bonding activity and you won a trophy. And...
What was it?
It wasn't the best award. It was the Mr. Magoo Award because you came last.
Yeah.
But I know you are so very proud of that award and that trophy.
You ring Kath and ask where it is because she asked the other night, what is this piece of crap?
Yeah.
And I said, well, that's my driving award at the go-kart. She doesn't know that I came last.
Most people would assume it's either because you're bad or because you don't care. You didn't try hard enough, but it's not. You didn't want to let one of the other young girls
here
who was very bad come last. You wanted to give her a little bit of a good spirit. So every time you look at that, you don't think I'm a loser. You think, how good a person am I?
I feel generous spirit. I gave up second last for a girl's confidence here in the office.
Yeah, so that's beautiful. And I want to know.
But haven't you got something like that?
133.53. I mean, I still hang my hat on Miss Teen Indy, you know, 16.
I know you do.
15, 16 years old.
What did they give you for that?
Just a sash.
Sash. Have you still got the sash?
No.
Oh, come
my mum wasn't
on.
Really a keeper of the things. Oh, I do have a lunchbox full of ribbons, though, like an old lunchbox with some ribbons, because I was a pretty good runner and swimmer at school and I was always age champion. Yeah. But nothing really.
You got Bruce Springsteen's glory days there anyway.
Yeah, dig that up.
133.53. I want to know, what is it? What's the award that you hang your hat on?
What, you've held on to?
You've held on to. Like,
Kath's got a rowing trophy. She was Queensland school. She's never rowed ever since she left school, but they were Queensland school. This is is before girl, a lot of girls roach. That was Queensland Schoolgirls Fours champion. The award is 5 centimetres tall. That's it, and she still got it.
When we drive out to visit Corey's family out at the Lockyer Valley, there's a house out there that says, you know, 1990 voted best Queensland build or something.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Best house build award, 1990. But
hanging
they still
on
got the
it.
Post the, oh, with the sign God. Out the front of the house. I'm like, it's 2021.
All right. But there'd be a shop somewhere, Best Pies 1976. There'd be a bakery somewhere claiming that.
Simon from Currabee, good morning.
Hello, how are you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got an award that you hang your hat on that you've never really let go of?
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why I've still got it at home. I think it's in a box somewhere. But, when I was about six, I won a cooking competition and the prize was a Blinky Bill cookbook.
Oh, wow. Now, where do you get involved Blinky at six Bill. In cooking? Where was this? At a camp or something?
I honestly can't remember.
Wow.
I was six. It was a while ago.
Do you, when you cook the barbie, you go, you're looking at a former champion chef here? Is that what you do?
No, definitely not.
Definitely not.
Okay, thank you,
Simon, do you still have the Blinky Bill cookbook?
Don't engage Simon
okay,
any further.
Okay, sorry. Moving on. Michelle from Tamarine.
He didn't even know where his trophy was.
Michelle,
we want people who are proud.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
An award that you hang your hat on. Have you got one?
Yeah, I was about eight and I went in the steeplechase on my Shetland pony and
goodness.
I came third. I was very proud, but there were only three people in it.
So you got a ribbon?
I got a ribbon.
Tell me about Shetland ponies jumping over things. How high would the steeples be?
They were hay bales and he went around them because his legs were too short.
Well, that's why you came third, Michelle. That's not Michelle Payne there, is it? The great jockey.
She was probably doing a bit better than that at eight.
What are you laughing at?
No. Then he didn't even go over the bales.
No.
He just went around them.
What? So that was when you were eight. How far did your equestrian career get?
I did a little bit of pony work, bigger pony work at a pony club, but I wasn't very good, so that sort of ended there.
Okay. Michelle, God how long did you drag out this terrible career of riding horses?
Riding Shetland.
My sister was really into it, so I just had to tag along.
Oh, you were made to do it. What number child are you, Michelle, the second last?
I'm number two, yep.
do you tell your kids about it?
Oh, look, they're riding the horses, so I try not to mention it at all because we don't want to have one here. So.
Do they ride and do they have a child like you? Do you have a child like you were?
No,
that
my
just
sister
goes along?
Still has all the horses, so we try and leave all the horses there.
Yeah, leave them, they're only expensive.
Is she the golden child, Michelle, your sister?
She must be.
Oh, thank you, Michelle. I'm proud of you. Well done with the third
place.
Kev from Albany Creek, what was it?
It was 1986.
Okay.
Australian titles off-road remote control cars.
What
was it?
Like remote control off-road car. Look at a motocross track. Where did you do it, Kev?
It was actually in Sydney in a purpose-built off-road track at the time. It was big in the day. And
what purpose-built for remote controlling?
What's that, Kev?
It's starting to make a comeback, the remote control cars.
Are you getting itchy fingers?
Have you started it, Kev?
Always. I've still got my stuff from 1991.
Yeah.
Telling me there's a hobby of remote control carring off-road.
Oh, God, yeah.
Is there?
Off-road, absolutely. It's
incredible.
Huge.
Wow.
Australian titles, world titles.
Would you be
Kevin.
Job ready if we said the Brisbane champs are on tomorrow? Would that your car be ready to go?
Oh, I'd have to dust it off and make sure it was running right. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus.
Did you get a medal or a certificate or a ribbon for your award?
At the time in 86, I got a certificate.
Did you laminate it?
For the C final.
Yeah.
I only found it just recently again.
Is it back on the fridge?
It's got pride of place on the wall.
Oh, you're kidding. That's
wonderful.
Have
you framed it, Kevin?
No.
Did you frame it?
He's taking the piss. Thank you, Kev. Well done, mate. Scotty.
Scott from Fernie Hills. Good morning.
Morning all. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got an award that you're pretty proud of?
2002 Cornwall in England. Hay bale throwing competition.
Oh, my goodness. Incredible.
A red wine from Australia. It cost $3 and I've still got it.
Oh, my God. I guess you just threw hay bales, did you?
Basically, they gave you a fork and put a stick in a tree, and they kept bloody moving it up the tree until you someone dropped out and someone won it. So,
well, you had to jump up and grab it. What do you mean?
No, no, I had to throw it
as high up as
up
possible.
Up the tree.
Yeah, as if you were throwing it into a barn. Is that the theory, Scott?
Oh, mate, you know, if you need a tip, you've got to throw it backwards, not forwards.
That's incredible.
That's one for the
Scott,
Olympics.
How old were you and how did you find yourself in this competition?
Well, I think I was about 25, no, maybe about 29, actually. I went to a fair in Cornwall, and the other competition was taking as many clothes as a clothesline with one hand and not dropping a peg. So.
Wow, and you decided to go the hay bale.
Oh, yeah, I bummed out.
Hey, we like everyone to learn things from our show. What's the key if we do find ourselves in a hay bale competition? What's the key technique?
Mate, you've got to bend low, basically. Bend low. And thrust hard.
Low, of course you do. It's all in the diff in
if
your
there
ass.
Was, if there was a current era competition, I would say I would win at carrying the most amount of shopping bags in from the car. My arms will go numb with lines and lines and lines. Just load them all up because I'm not coming back for a second trip.
So you're an ordinary hero, like that sports bet ad where they do the events like pushing the wheelie bin.
Yeah,
Scott, you may have started something here. How many clothes did the person get off with one hand? What was the story there?
Mate, it was about a 12-year-old. I remember being a little girl and she pulled up about 30 bloody
garments.
That's called housewife training.
Yeah. Unreal. I hope somebody married her because she's bloody handy.
Triple M.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Marto, I was quick to criticise last week Anastasia Palaszczuk pulling 25% of the ticket sales at Suncorp Stadium for the grand final last weekend.
A lot of angry people.
And I kind of took the unempathetic path of, well, too bad, so sad. If you're going to leave buying your tickets till that late, till the week of, or getting them last minute, then you miss out, you know?
Oh, you know, I'm a fan of the stiff shit rule, but I had a few mates who missed out. So
yesterday I ate my words because I am now in the stiff shit category because some more tickets have been lost.
Snatched.
On my behalf because Charlie and the Chocolate Factory was playing at QPAC and I was going to be taking my daughter Memphis along.
Right. Hold on. Is this a stage show,
a musical?
Jesus,
play.
You've dodged a bullet there, love. You've dodged a bullet. You know how much I hate musicals.
Some friends of ours went, you know, when the show was on a couple of weeks ago. It's been running since September and they've extended it. So this week was an extended week. We're going to play until Saturday because it's been so popular.
I bet.
And everybody was talking about how amazing it was and I had FOMO. So I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get tickets. I need to go.
So you got late
tickets. So I got last minute tickets for this week to take Memphis along because her and I, we love a stage show and a musical. But they have fled the state. The cast members.
What, they bug it off?
Bug it off. They have packed up.
Where have they got to go that's better than here?
They have packed up and left for Perth in a hurry, leaving devastated would-be Brisbane patrons in its wake. Patrons were notified on Tuesday that the remaining shows in an extended season due to finish on Saturday were cancelled. And that a refund would be forthcoming. Well, I don't want my money back. I want to go and see Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. I heard it's really good, but they're scared that they're going to get locked down. They already had to quarantine to be able to do the show here.
But don't they have quarantine in Perth?
I don't know. I don't know how it works.
How much do you want to go and watch it? Do you happy to quarantine for 2 weeks to go and watch Charlie? What is it? The Chocolate Factory?
It's their
weeks. Hold on. Why would you go? You know the story. You've probably seen the movie a few times.
But Daddy, I went to Pony. Apparently, I've got lots of friends that took their daughters. There's the Johnny Depp one, and then there's obviously the original one. They did a remake with Johnny Depp, which was a bit weird and wacky.
It's not in my hitting zone, sorry.
But I wanted to take Memphis because all of her friends went, and we were away out at the lake, so I couldn't take her, and I wasn't coming back in to go. But anyway, now I've lost my opportunity. I've missed out.
Wow.
And I'm going to have FOMO forever now because it's not coming back.
That's like going, I was supposed to be executed next Thursday, but the guillotine wasn't sharp enough, and they called it off.
You're lucky.
Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.